Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is the 18th day of October 2009 on this Sunday edition. We are going to have wide open phones today for all the great listeners are out there across the country and the world. The toll-free number to join us is 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. And we will get you up and on the air. Okay, here are the important stacks of news I have in front of me. Number one, it has been confirmed that the German government, the British government, the U.S. government, and other government leaders are having special flu shots for themselves that don't have thimerosal mercury, that don't have aluminum, that don't have interleukin 2, that don't have these other adjuvants in them that, in many cases, according to the medical doctors and brain surgeons and epidemiologists and endocrinologists and virologists we've interviewed here on this radio show, in many cases, the adjuvants are worse than the RNA and the cancer viruses that are in all the major vaccines. And all over the world, in the United States, England, you name it, medical workers, doctors, nurses are refusing in mass, the vast majority, in polls, to take the shot. And so the public's saying, well, then how can you try to force us to take the vaccine? We'll be talking about that today in great detail. I mentioned this Friday, but never got to it. It was a Wall Street Journal article Wednesday, October 14th. I read while I was in the airport in Los Angeles. Insurers stand against committee's plan. Industry's opposition, driven by weakened mandates for coverage, widens divide with Congress, influence still possible. And they go on to admit that the insurance companies basically wrote the bill and that they want government-run health care. See, the control left says, oh, you're on insurance company payroll if you don't want government-run health care. Excuse me? Excuse me? It's the insurance companies that are threatening to back out because it doesn't have all the big government health care in it now. A lot of it's been stripped away. It's still bad. And they're in there saying they want liability protection. They want to be able to put $5,000 fines on people a year, not $2,000 fines from the government if you don't go buy insurance from them. They want money kept out of your paycheck and given to them because the insurance companies are another arm of the banks. And that's what the global carbon tax is. That's what the income tax is. That's what all these taxes are, is to give more and more of your paycheck to the banks, the same ones that have run the entire derivative scam. So we're going to be breaking that down today. Also, it's getting a lot of attention. While we're busy looking at health care and busy worrying about the balloon boy and all the rest of this, they are set in December to vote for the New World Treaty to set up the global taxing system. We're going to play a video clip later of a British lord breaking this down. And it's in the treaty. It says world government. I've read the treaty. We've shown you the treaty on air. It's in the news. It's admitted a global governance over carbon, over all human activity on the planet, total dictatorship. So big show lined up today. Then some other bizarre weather control articles. Time magazine, Moscow mayor promises a winter without snow with weather control. Weather control's been 100% since the late 60s. By that, the U.S. government certified they can control the weather when they want to. Outside the U.S., this is admitted. Inside the U.S., people barely believe that the wheel has been invented.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Later, we're going to be playing the video/audio, video for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, audio for the great radio folks. From this particular clip, we posted this a few days ago up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It's now broken out into the alternative and mainstream media. WorldNet Daily has the headline, Thatcher Advisor, Copenhagen Goal is One World Government. And it's in the treaty that the global warming/climate change treaty to tax carbon dioxide that vote is coming up in December in Copenhagen, and it's in the bill. And this will regulate and control every facet of our lives. So we're going to be breaking that down for people today. Again, I'm Alex Jones, your host. I'm glad that you have decided to join us on this live Sunday edition, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're also going to be taking your calls at 888-201-2244 and getting you up on the air, 888-201-2244. Here's another headline. This is out of the Associated Press. U.S. Senator, global warming bill possible soon. And Senator Barbara Boxer goes on to say that she believes it will pass before the Copenhagen Treaty is to be signed by Barack Obama in December. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations states that this will be a tax on all the foods you eat, your car, electricity, everything that goes on inside your home. You will be given home inspections. This is just government growing by 1,000%. And remember earlier this week, Arnold Schwarzenegger said as part of the carbon footprint, they're going to tax all home appliances for their carbon footprint in California, setting the precedent for the rest of the U.S., and they're just going to outright ban 40-inch and bigger big screen TVs, calling them power hogs. So this idea of rationing, and the United Nations says that finally you're going to be taxed according to calories. I read this in Club of Rome documents from 1963. By the way, I was in the L.A. airport, and I didn't just buy this Wall Street Journal to read while I was on the plane. I bought a book called The Endless War. No, the Forever War. And I've almost finished that. It's supposedly one of the best-selling science fiction books ever. And it was written in the early 70s. And in between reading the Wall Street Journal on the plane and reading most of the Forever War, in the Forever War, the eugenicists take over the planet. They only first let you have one child, then they basically ban having children. You've got to have them test tube. And the whole global system is run off of calories. And you're only given so many calories and they euthanize the old people. Now, I know that author read UN and Club of Rome documents. I know he read Aldous Huxley documents. I know that he read Julian Huxley reports. I know he read Bertrand Russell. Because once you've read what the United Nations says they're planning to do, you know everything that's going to happen. It's just the amazing thing is now I watch popular culture and I realize that most people in the establishment, even authors and TV producers, know about this. I watch very little TV, maybe 45 minutes a day when I'm running on the treadmill. That's more than I did in the past. But the point is that I was on YouTube a couple weeks ago, late at night, and I noticed they had the entire Star Trek episodes on there. And I thought, you know, let me just randomly choose an episode. So I clicked on the one that has Khan in it. I guess, you know, decades later they make Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. I watched the one with Khan in it. And in that, they're talking about how a world government got started carrying out eugenics, and that the superhuman eugenics leaders were having these off-war battles and almost destroyed the Earth, and Khan was one of them. And, of course, I'd read about the eugenics wars in UN documents from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, how they planned to have this eugenics war against humanity. But it was clear that Gene Roddenberry, who'd written that episode, had also read those UN documents. I mean, the point is, I'm not even looking for this stuff. I'm like, oh, this looks like a good science fiction book. I'll take a break. I just shot a TV, you know, another episode or two episodes of Jesse Ventura's TV show that's coming up in the winter, December and January, on the True TV network. Let me just get a Wall Street Journal, a little bit of research while I'm about to get on the plane in an hour, and let me just buy this book for entertainment. And, oh, let me just click on a Star Trek and watch it. And it's all about eugenics. That's all any of this is about. And then the larger question is, how do I get the public to care about this? How do you get the public to even think that this is important? Past, you know, women care about how big their lips are or if they're skinny, and men care about how their football team's doing. And that's all fine and dandy. You know, I'm glad women like to look good. I'm glad men like football or whatever. But how do I get people to care they're putting poison in our water? Well, the answer is the public just doesn't believe that. I mean, they don't care if it's in government textbooks. They don't care if their kid's drinking it, I guess, or their kids are taking these vaccines. I took my children to Jason's Deli last night, and almost every person, including the employees, was wearing University of Texas burn orange. And I sat there between a bunch of tables around me, and all anyone was talking about was the University of Texas. And I thought, what would happen if I could get them to all wear Bill of Rights shirts and teach their kids their rights? Or what would happen if I could get them to learn about global carbon taxes and how that's meant to shut down our economy and make us dependent on the government? Man, then these people would have a destiny and have a future. But they've been raised in entertainment and raised to just accept their surroundings and literally just take stimuli from the government and the media and the TV and just regurgitate it. And so I get up here and I tell them about the United Nations. They don't want to hear about that. They don't want to know that a global tax is being set up. They don't want to know they're going to have home inspections. They don't want to know that government ministers and police and military doctors are refusing to take the flu shot. They don't want to believe me that there's mercury in it, and it says so on the insert. They don't want to believe me it has adjuvants in it and live cancer viruses. They don't want to read Der Spiegel and Bild and Le Figaro and the BBC. I mean, it's actually in foreign news. They don't want to, it's even on Fox News that people are taking the shots and getting paralyzed. But they say, well, that's a good price to pay. It's very, very rare. No, it's not very, very rare. And because, you know, the average person just isn't ready to believe that any of this could be done by design. And because they can't believe that something like this would be done by design, because they don't understand eugenics, I'll tell you, the thinking intelligentsia does. Look how it's all over popular culture and in movies. And well, I'm going to go over this. I'm going to go over how the British government, the German government, they won't take the flu shots themselves. And those that do have a special additive free one that they take. I'm also going to go over a bunch of economic news. You see, the insurance companies are behind the government takeover of healthcare. And they admit this in their own press releases. But the controlled left goes, oh no, the insurance companies don't want it. one of the chief advisors to Margaret Thatcher, Lord Monckton, was one of the science advisors hired to investigate man-made global warming. And, of course, they found that plants exhale carbon dioxide, that it's one of the four building blocks of life on the planet, and that higher levels of carbon dioxide follow an increase in temperatures, and that it is part of life on this planet, and that the sun is the main driver of temperature on the planet. And he and many others are speaking out, but when you read the Copenhagen Treaty, and I've scanned over it, it states openly global governance, and you can watch the G20, you can watch Gordon Brown, you can watch Tony Blair, you can watch people in the cabinet like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama saying this is a new world order, this is global governance. Hundreds of financial publications saying we're going to pay our carbon taxes to a new private bank of the world, to a new private bank. And I just am so sad for our country because the public is in a trance. The public is in a complete trance, only thinking about themselves individually and their job and the leisure they want to carry out and the ball games they want to go to. And they're not even thinking about the wider world. They don't know the United States is being conquered by offshore private banks. They don't know the government's taking over healthcare as a new form of taxation. Has nothing to do with healthcare. They don't know any of this. They don't know the global carbon tax is meant to shut down industry that isn't controlled by the globalist. Thatcher advisor, Copenhagen goal is one world government. And here is the British Lord speaking to the University of Minnesota, to a packed house, breaking it down for everyone. Here it is.
And what are we doing instead? At Copenhagen, this December, weeks away, a treaty will be signed. Your president will sign it. Most of the third world countries will sign it because they think they're going to get money out of it. Most of the left-wing regimes around the world, like the European Union, will rubber stamp it. Virtually nobody won't sign it. I have read that treaty. And what it says is this, that a world government is going to be created. The word government actually appears as the first of three purposes of the new entity. The second purpose is the transfer of wealth from the countries of the West to third world countries in satisfaction of what is called coyly a climate debt, because we've been burning CO2 and they haven't, and we've been screwing up the climate. We haven't been screwing up the climate, but that's the line. And the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement. How many of you think that the word election or democracy or vote or ballot occurs anywhere in the 200 pages of that treaty? Quite right, it doesn't appear once. So at last, the communists who piled out of the Berlin Wall and into the environmental movement and took over Greenpeace so that my friends who founded it left within a year because they'd captured it, now the apotheosis is at hand. They are about to impose a communist world government on the world. You have a president who has very strong sympathies with that point of view. He's going to sign. He'll sign anything. He's a Nobel Peace Laureate. Of course he'll sign it. And the trouble is this. If that treaty is signed, your constitution says that it takes precedence over your constitution. And you can't resile from that treaty unless you get the agreement of all the other states' parties. And because you'll be the biggest paying country, they're not going to let you out. So, thank you, America. You were the beacon of freedom for the world. It is a privilege merely to stand on this soil of freedom while it is still free. But in the next few weeks, unless you stop it, your president will sign your freedom, your democracy, and your prosperity away forever, and neither you nor any subsequent government you may elect will have any power whatsoever to take it back again. That is how serious it is. I have read the treaty, I've seen this stuff about government and climate debt and enforcement. They are going to do this to you, whether you like it or no. But I think it is here in your great nation, which I so love and I so admire, it is here that perhaps at this 11th hour, at the 59th minute and the 59th second, you will rise up and you will stop your president from signing that dreadful treaty, that purposeless treaty, for there is no problem with the climate, and even if there were, economically speaking, there's nothing we can do about it. So I end by saying to you the words that Winston Churchill addressed to your president in the darkest hour before the dawn of freedom in the Second World War. He quoted from your great poet Longfellow, "Sail on, O ship of state. Sail on, O Union, strong and great. Humanity, with all its fears, with all the hopes of future years, is hanging breathless on thy fate." Thank you.
All right, that's Lord Christopher Mocton, now one of the most high-powered members of the House of Lords. Now notice he says it's communist. No, the biggest banks, the biggest oil companies are behind the global taxing system, because it's going to be a private tax paid to them, and they're going to regulate it and control it. In fact, here's a London Guardian article today. "The world's future is being decided this weekend. We must agree to halt deforestation and curtail air travel now if the Copenhagen summit is to succeed. Lord Nicholas Stern." Now, what Nicholas Stern doesn't tell you in his London Guardian article is he owns, with Al Gore and three other men, and here's the Financial Times of London, "Stern launches carbon rating agency." Stern launches carbon credit rating agency. There it is. There it is. So in every case, you've got these big international banking heads and these British lords and royalty and Rothschilds and Rockefellers every time. And they're pumping the media and got the NFL promoting it and got all the different corporations and shows and everybody's behind it. And I walked through the airport and every other billboard literally was, "We got smart buildings. We track your carbon footprint. We're going to help you." Folks, they're going to tax you. This is the private banks that have run the banking collapse by design in their own documents, now creating their new taxing mechanism. I'm going to finish up with some of this and then get into the flu. This is Der Spiegel. "Chancellor and ministers are to receive special vaccine, not the one the general public slaves get." If it's good for the goose, it's got to be good for the gander. Those shots they take on TV. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. Thank you for joining us. You know, I was thinking during the break, how do I reach out to people? And I'm going to be honest with you, at a certain level, there's a little bit of disgust and sardonic disdain for people in this country, but also around the world. Who don't even care about themselves. They don't care about what's happening. They don't care about being conquered by an They don't have any respect for themselves. Period. They want to be slaves. They don't want their liberties and freedoms. That's not what they're into. They want to just wear a football or baseball shirt and to be bossed around by black uniform police and to have drugs forced on them, and to have the state make their kids go to school year-round and then phase in having your children raised in government dormitories. I mean, that's in all the government reports. I mean, what I talk about here is the truth. I'm just telling people the truth. And it isn't funny. I'm very, not even frustrated, I'm just disgusted and sad. Because I know how real the New World Order is. I mean, they're openly announcing world government all over the news. And the public, some of the public, think it's cute and funny to still laugh at it. And as if you laugh at something, it makes it go away. This is a very nasty tyranny that we're dealing with here. These are very, very evil people. These are horrible, 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 horrible control freaks. And it's hard to go through life doing the research, being informed, knowing the facts, knowing I'm right, interviewing former heads of state, congressmen and women, scientists, top doctors, all agreeing with me, having all the textbooks and documents written by the eugenicists, by the planetary rulers, to see the plan they're setting up, and to see humanity robbed of its destiny. Really makes my blood boil. But I'm kind of hard-boiled now. I've gone past the point of just being angry. Everything is turned on its head. Everything is the opposite of what it really is. And how do you explain that to people? I mean, how do you explain that both parties are controlled by the same financial interest and that these major elections are completely staged? Or how do you explain to somebody that the big insurance companies want government-run health care? How do you explain to the third world, who's now clamoring for the world carbon tax, that the carbon tax is designed in the United Nations' own documents to shut down their industry? But the United Nations advertises it as, we're going to get the rich, greedy Americans and British and Germans and Japanese. We're going to give you their money. The big private central banks aren't going to give you anything. They're the same IMF and World Bank that have raped the third world. I read the World Population Commission reports. I read the Commission on Population. I read the State Department Memorandum 200. I read the United Nations Biological Diversity Assessment 1996. I read EcoScience. I've read literally hundreds of their white papers and books. I sit there at night with bloodshot eyes reading this stuff in horror. And people look at me and they say, look, I don't care. I don't care if they're poisoning my water or putting stuff in the vaccines. I like football. I'm going to be selfish, and I'm going to go live my life, and I'm going to act like none of this exists. And I don't care if my kid dies at 10 years of age of vaccine-induced leukemia. I don't care if Bayer Pharmaceutical knowingly, in over a million ampules, shipped out HIV to hemophiliacs and killed them better than a hammer. I don't care. I don't care if they gave black men syphilis and let them die of it with Tuskegee. I don't care if Project Shad, they take our own troops and march them into chambers and nerve gas them and it's declassified. I'm going to trust the government, and I'm going to roll my sleeve up, and I'm going to take whatever they give me, and I believe that carbon dioxide that plants breathe is a nerve gas itself, and I want a tax put on it. I know record numbers of people are listening. But in a way, it's even worse. It's like we know how we're being destroyed. Like we're all here awake watching all the slaves loving their enslavement. And the elite are sitting there laughing at us. They laugh at us. They write books laughing at us about how the public will never wake up to what's happening. I mean, these guys write books about how stupid you are and how they're really going after you hardcore. How they are really tearing you up. And I read the cap and trade bill that's passed the House, set to pass the Senate. It mirrors the Copenhagen Treaty. It just gives unlimited power to 35 agencies to tax and regulate whatever they want. And it take over every facet of our lives. And then I just think, well, I could just get out of here, go to some third world country, what, and wait for the tyranny to show up there? Wait for the global tyranny to unfold? This thing is moving fast now. This is happening all over the world. There's nowhere to run, ladies and gentlemen. There's nowhere to hide. We're under social conditioning and engineering. And I'm just so tired of watching con artists get away with their scams. I'm so tired of watching the con artists that run the New World Order with the gullible public that'll go along with anything, anytime. I mean, what's the point of even reading this stack of articles? Little kids, women, men getting paralyzed, having seizures after the flu shot. Seasonal and H1N1. You know what? Go out and take it for yourself. When you get Alzheimer's when you're 45, you get your heart right with God. Okay? But here's Der Spiegel. Chancellor and ministers are to receive special vaccine. Chancellor and ministers are to be protected after Spiegel sources with special vaccine against pig flu. An official of ministries and subordinate authorities likewise. And it goes on to say that they don't trust the vaccine, that it won't have the additives, and the German army's getting a clean vaccine. See, they have to give government officials a different shot because they know what's going on. Websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Thank you for joining us. You know, I finally had a chance to listen to the new Muse album. We've had Mr. Bellamy on the show. He is a fan. And it's total anti-New World Order, anti-left-right paradigm. It's about bringing down the New World Order. It's all about eugenics. Megadeth's new album is about that as well, inspired by my film Endgame. And those are just a few of the benchmarks. Jesse Ventura is now completely awake to the New World Order. I woke him up somewhat 3 years ago, got him to come out for 9/11 Truth 2 years ago. Now he's got a conspiracy theorist, quote, TV show that Time Warner has its hands deeply into, but we'll see how that turns out. And he's now fully awake. He says his head spins at night as he learns more and more. And that's what happens for a while. And then you just get upset and focused and dedicated to fighting this system. I'm going to go to James and Chris and Victoria and George and Steve and many others that are holding here in a minute. But I just want new listeners to know something. If you're tuning in for the first time, you better get your head out of the sand and wake up fast. and study world history and what most governments end up doing to people and learn that tyranny and oppression and bondage are the norm and freedom is very rare. Because it is very upsetting for me to watch innocent people being abused and hurt by the system. It is very upsetting to me to see cancer numbers and autism numbers and all these other degenerative diseases, to know that in thousands of studies, they've known for more than 50 years that vaccines are causing most of the degenerative and early onset and even juvenile onset of arthritis, that vaccine autoimmune reactions are not associated with, it's been proven that it is causing many of the early onset of diabetes. And I have medical doctor after medical doctor on, and all I want to do is warn people. You know, this is what we know about the government and these big pharma companies. They are doing it by design. There's no other way for me to try to explain that to people. There's no other way that I can even try to get this across to you. And I know it's heavy. And I know that subconsciously you want to divert and distract off into other issues. I understand that. That people want to rationalize or cognitive dissonance kicks in and people make excuses. It happens over and over again. But I at least want you to know that the world government is now here and it is going to hurt all of us very, very badly. I'm going to go to your calls. I want to get into the whole healthcare bill next hour and what's really behind that. And I also want to get into an AP article. There's also a Time Magazine article about weather modification and government weather control. Yeah, we're not in Kansas anymore, folks. And then, like I said, all over the world, government officials are getting special vaccines that don't have the squalene, the mercury, the aluminum, the interleukin 2. Meanwhile, woman disabled by flu shot reaction. FDA admits, medical doctors admit, she's been paralyzed. She was a cheerleader for the Redskins until she took the shot 2 weeks ago. Just the regular flu shot. German soldiers get additive-free swine flu shot. The public doesn't. That's just some of the news I've got there. I've got some other important announcements coming up as well. But, you know, the biggest issue here is world government is openly being announced. And it's exactly as we told you it would be announced. And let me steal all my thunder here and explain something. I know a lot of you heard me 5, 10, 15, you know, 12 years ago, 13, 14 years ago talking about this. And you laughed at me. But let's just steal the thunder from Alex Jones here real fast. Because now, you know, it's all admitted and our credibility's rising very fast. All I was doing was reading government documents. This is all public. And so now, and they're in the final phases, they're announcing, yeah, it's going to be a private bank. It's going to carbon tax you. It's going to have taxes on your money transfers. It's going to shut down all these third world countries where you can run to. Global tax, global regulation, global control. And the cornerstone of it isn't just going to be a Tobin tax or an oil wellhead tax. It's going to be a tax on all human activity. And it's going to be a free-for-all gang raping of the public with locals, the cities, the counties, the states, the feds, the internationals, all putting different taxes on different things. Television sets, beef, chicken, pork, fish, watering your yard, your insulation, your home, your cars. I mean, it's all being announced. Satellite tracker boxes in your cars tracking you. Taxes on your bandwidth, internet regulation. And it's all being announced. I mean, they say they want to double the price of coal day one, which coal is 51% of the power used in this country, supplied by coal. It's so diabolical to be living in like a dystopic science fiction novel. I'll be out in Hollywood occasionally at some party I get invited to, and there's these movie stars, and they're right there in front of me talking about how everybody's having surrogates now, and you know, people don't have their own babies. They have someone else with the embryo implanted in another woman. And then I'm back in Austin and find out the yuppies are doing it. I mean, whether you're for that or against it, man, we're in Buck Rogers, baby. I mean, we got a planetary government jacking the water and the vaccines and bragging about how they're killing us with soft kill weapons. And if you don't know what a soft kill is, you better research it. And then I sit up here and all these fools. I'll tell you what else freaks me out, and then we're going to go to break and come right back, and we'll take calls for the rest of the next hour. I'll tell you what really screws with my mind. They don't even hide it. We can go look at the IP addresses of the commenters on InfoWars, and it goes to the Department of Defense, or it goes to their own MySpace, and then there they are on the MySpace attacking me or on their YouTube channel, and they're all shows combat photos of them in Iraq or in other theaters, and they're on there in uniform talking trash about me, saying there's no world government, there's no new world order, I'm a lying traitor. They go and they comment and try to get everybody fighting with each other on the comment board on InfoWars. They wait like a shark or piranhas for right when we put new articles up every few hours. They're the first person to comment. And they brag on their own sites. Hey, look at how I manipulate these dumb conspiracy people. I go tell them Alex is a Fed and they believe it. And they have these weird internet brigades on Wikipedia where they give each other awards, how they go out and censor us and how they're attacking us. And they admit they're on government payroll, many of them. I mean, and they've now come out and admitted what I reported on over a decade ago, that most TV shows... You wonder why there's an anti-gun, anti-family, pro-euthanasia message on TV? It's all government paid for with your tax money. I mean, I can't believe they find this many traitors. These guys in the military, they think the Homeland Security documents we broke that list veterans and gun owners as terrorists are good. They think world government's good. Now, I'm not saying that's our whole military, but these guys hired by the Pentagon to go after me. It's not doing anything to us. All our listeners see right through it. But they don't care, though. They want to get you debating and arguing about me instead of warning your neighbor about the Gardasil shot or about the flu shot or warning people about cap and trade or warning people about government takeover of healthcare. They're there just to frustrate us and confuse us and get us infighting with each other. And they're just on such power trips when you look at these troops. And they just hate me so much. They hate America. They hate everything good. They're such scum. And God help us. We'll be right back with the second hour.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Hey, thank you for joining us. I'm going to go ahead and start taking some of your phone calls. Then I want to make some major announcements here on the show and also get into the whole socialist healthcare situation. I'm also going to play some clips from Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement near the end of the show that I think are very, very important. Let's go ahead and talk to James in Canada. James, thanks for holding. I appreciate you coming on the show today. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Calling from Calgary, Alberta, with 9/11 Truth here in Calgary. And I don't know, I just want to bring up a controversial issue, I guess, that seems to, I don't know, I'm not sure if you've ever interviewed this guy. His name is Dr. Peter Duisberg.
I think I have interviewed Duisberg. He says HIV doesn't cause AIDS, and that HIV is actually a cover for other soft kill weapons and the AIDS drugs themselves. And there's some truth to that, but I've interviewed many times Dr. Stan Monteith, medical doctor, and what the studies show is that it is meant to kill Africans or people of African descent. Okay, Anglo, especially Northern Europeans, Germans, and North don't even have the coupler points on their white blood cells. They basically can't even get the HIV unless they get like a massive blood transfusion of solid. But if a black person comes in contact with just a few viruses, they're deader than a hammer.
Oh, that's interesting too. I don't know, because it seems like Duisberg's film that I watched, it talks about how the AZT, basically the drugs that they give you after you are
Yeah, the AZT turns
it.
Off your immune system. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just destroys your body from the inside out pretty much. And so I don't know, I just wanted to find out.
See, that's the only way to kill somebody. You tell them, "Oh, you're HIV positive," then you give them a drug that kills them. And you notice Magic Johnson, all these people are alive 15 years later, and they'll come out and make weird statements like, "I've been cured." And that's because they do have cures for it. Sir, I appreciate your call, but let me just say this here. We have the government documents. We've gone over them here on air. They did develop autoimmune soft kill weapons, autoimmune viruses that kill people slowly and in a degenerative fashion. And that's what HIV is. And you can Google Nobel Prize winner says HIV AIDS manufactured. In fact, let's do that. We never do that anymore. Nobel Prize winner says HIV is man-made. Or HIV. South Africa has declassified a giant race-specific bioweapons program. Dick Cheney in the September 20th, 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses, said they've launched a race-specific bioweapons campaign. The Human Genome Project is meant to track different racial traits to specifically get samples to produce race-specific bioweapons. Almost 37 years ago, a planetary initiative was launched secretly by the United Nations, now declassified in the last 5 years, even been in the Austin American Statesman, where blood is taken from all babies at birth in the Western world, New Zealand, Australia, Europe, Canada, England, the United States, and it's put in a giant globalist database. They have databases, different regions. I think seven states are held by the University of Texas at San Antonio. And that's who holds the blood samples on you. They can develop a race weapon just for you. It's so sick. I mean, this is insane. Why am I even having to be on air? Why the hell don't you people find out I just told you the truth, get pissed off about it, and do something? What the hell's your problem? What's your major malfunction? I know, though. You got to go to the football and baseball game and only care about that, and I'm a kook. I know. None of it's true. They're not setting up global taxes. There's no New World Order.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Look, it's very, very simple. If you will just spend an hour online at government websites, university websites, researching the history of government experimentation on populations, any captive population, Native Americans, South Pacificers, Aborigines in Australia, again, foster children, orphanage kids, troops, U.S. troops, but the Russians did it, the Germans did it, the U.S. does it, the French do it. I mean, they had thousands of tests, the U.S. did, where they would march U.S. soldiers in under Project Shad and other programs and nerve gas them to death. And that the Army did that to test and see if they could get enough doctors to promote into higher levels of race-specific weapons. to see if they had warped logic, Machiavellian logic of end justifies the means, and that they would go along with that to create the larger cadres. I mean, how do you read tens of thousands of different cities sprayed with radiation, school kids sprayed with anthrax? I mean, how do you know this and then anthrax gets mailed out and it's a U.S. government strain and enemies of the White House get sent it and we're like, oh, no, the government's not involved in that. Then it turns out the whole White House is on the anthrax-fighting antibiotic Cipro 32 days before it pops up. Right at the time it was mailed out. Source on that's Associated Press. I mean, when they write textbooks like Eco-Science about how they're poisoning the water to sterilize us, and then the New Republic and Salon magazine, amongst others, write hit pieces saying, I'm insane and believe that the White House science czar called for drug in the water, I scanned the thing in. It's been in the Associated Press after we broke it. I mean, it's in the mainstream news, you jackasses. I don't have time to play games with you anymore. You stupid people out there, if you love your family, you better get your heads out of the ground and start learning. I'm tired of watching this stuff go on. Look at this. Look at this. For PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, you can see it. Flu shots defended, but growing number of elderly refusing vaccine. This is out of the Houston News, out of the Houston Post. And smart listeners are going, wait a minute, the Houston Post has been closed for years. That's right. This is from October 15th, 1976. I was wondering why I got confused when I got mailed this. The one behind it's the Houston Post from Kent State. They sent me that too. So I was going, why does it say 1970? And then in this page of the Houston Post, it says Friday, October 15th, 1976. Flu shots defended, but growing number of elderly refusing vaccine. Houston health officials have faced Thursday night with more physician cancellations for swine flu vaccine and a growing number of elderly persons refusing to take the shots. But the Texas Department of Health Resources announced earlier in Austin the statewide swine influenza program would resume Monday. It had been suspended following the deaths of several persons who'd been given the vaccine. Federal scientists ruled out the vaccine as the cause of the deaths. But then by 1978, the government had to admit that the swine flu shot did kill people. So here is a blast from the past. And meanwhile, the new shots are killing people again. And it's on the insert. It's on the printout that it's got mercury and that it's got adjuvants and that it's got aluminum and that it's got interleukin-2 and that it can cause Guillain-Barré and other neurological disorders that can paralyze you or make you be an epileptic. I mean, I've posted on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com the inserts, and people don't want to believe it. They go, no, I'm not going to read the insert. It's a conspiracy theory. I'm going to take the shot. There is no such thing as a drug insert. I will not read it. I will not go down to Walgreens and ask to see the insert. I will just take it because there's no such thing as a conspiracy. But the balloon family with the balloon hoax in Colorado, they're being charged with conspiracy. I was on the treadmill today, jogging at the gym after lifting weights, and I'm listening to the police chief out there in that town saying we're going to charge him with conspiracy. With conspiracy. And they may even charge the kids with conspiracy. But governments, they don't conspire. All right, let's go to calls here. Chris in Florida, then Victoria, George, Steve, and others. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Alex, thanks, God. I thank God for you being there. And you're talking about the Duffy strain-specific version of HIV that 90% of Saharan Africans have, causing them to be 40% more likely to contract HIV. And when it comes to Obama back on talking to the school kids back on September 8th, he was encouraging them to work harder and find a cure for HIV and cancer and become better inventors and innovators. And yet there's the late Dr. Boyd Graves, I know you're aware of, who happened to be black, and he wrote to then-candidate Obama in November of 2008 regarding the synthetic nature of HIV as a race-specific biological weapon, and mentioned the Duffy-Dean-specific strain. And he also brings up the single-injection HIV cure, Tetrasil, that's patent 567-6977. And
I'll tell you what else is amazing, and that's that... Oh, it doesn't matter. I was just thinking about how evil it is. Go ahead.
Well, absolutely, because you can't expect Obama to keep his word if he's telling us that it's not going to be mandatory vaccinations. You know, you can count on it being the opposite. But late Dr. Boyd Graves wrote to Obama well before he made this speech on September 8th to the school kids. And, of course, you mentioned all the propaganda that we're already paying for. For those who want to do a little more, bit more research, you know about Leonard Horowitz's emerging viruses on the synthetic nature of HIV. There's Ed Hooper's The River, Hillary Johnson's Osler's Web, Professor Donald Scott's Journal of Degenerative Diseases, Volume 5.
Absolutely. I've got to jump. I know they're getting ready to try to force a new HIV vaccine on people. And it's killed a lot of people in trials. For people that don't believe me, just Google polio vaccine causes polio. Associated Press, like 2 months ago, admitted it's killing people with a weaponized form of super deadly polio that the UN is giving. And they go, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with the vaccines. Polio virus spreads in Nigeria, CBS News. And then it goes on to admit that it's caused by the vaccine. Yeah, it says it's caused by the vaccine used to fight it. CBS News, second paragraph, mutant polio virus spreads in Nigeria. And then as a minor footnote, they just add, oh, by the way, it was from the vaccine. Mutant, super, and notice those kids. Show them again on PrisonPlanet.tv. We're simulcasting on the radio here. Look at that. Notice how they're giving them the liquid vaccine. That's the one chock full of cancer viruses. You know, I've got a pediatrician here in town for my children who's got one of the biggest practices in town. I'll just leave it at that. And he'll do vaccine-free if you want. And he pulled me aside one day when my son was in there about two getting a yearly checkup. And he said, don't quote me on air. But, you know, doctors volunteer a few times a year for clinics. We're supposed to. And a few years ago, I was in Austin at one of these vaccine clinics for kids, and we were giving the 1970s live SV40 polio oral vaccine to the kids that's illegal inside the U.S. And I knew it was illegal. And he said, well, what do you think that was about, Alex? And every dose of that's got live cancer virus that will probably kill you in it, and that's admitted. But look at these kids getting live polio, wounding them or killing them. They'll be in wheelchairs the rest of their lives. CBS News. Don't you dare say I'm a conspiracy theorist out there. Okay? I know what I'm talking about. We'll be right back.
Transmissions will resume. I'll try to push, try to keep us all down, down, and hold back, but we will never see the truth around. Another promise, another scene, another a package like to keep us trapped in greed. All a green belts wrapped around our minds, an endless red tape to keep the truth confined.
This is Muse. Uprising, one of the number one songs in the nation. They're big fans of this show. Crank it up.
We will not force us. We will stop degrading us.
listen to that, and I get a little bit down sometimes. They will not control us. We will be victorious against the New World Order. On the weekday show, I'm going to talk more about this, but I want to get a few calls in right now, and I really appreciate everybody holding. I'm not really depressed. I'm just more reflective today and upset about what's happening, because I might have doubted myself 12 years ago on the air about world government, even though I had all the government documents. When people laughed at me, I would kind of doubt. There's no doubting now. It's all out in the open. I mean, I remember reading UN documents about how they wanted to kill the majority of us, and I felt crazy reading it on air, but that's what they're doing. Charlie Sheen 911 contest, win $14,000 and spread the truth virally. You can do it any way you want. Go to 20minuteswiththepresident.com. There's a big banner up on Infowars.com. You've got until Sunday, November 15th, to get an email to us. Then that next Thursday, the 19th, I will announce on the weekday radio show the winner. $14,000, and you'll be on the radio with Charlie Sheen. It's the 20 bullet points we wrote up together that he would like President Obama to address. Obviously, Obama's not going to address them. It's about getting the 20 bullet points out to the public, like six of the 10 9/11 commission members saying it's all a cover up and a lie. Mr. Farmer, the head lawyer, coming out and saying inside job, basically. The public doesn't know about this. So that's why Charlie did what he did. $14,000. You can make a YouTube video with actors, with people, as if an interview with the president. Doesn't have to be the whole script, or it could be with video clips, with audio, reading the text. It's whatever Charlie thinks is the best. $14,000 for first place prize. Get on it. Get involved. Go find out the contest rules. It's very easy. And we all win by getting the truth out about 9/11. Millions and millions of people will see the hundreds of videos that get made. I mean, Charlie's message to the president's been seen over a couple million times that I know of. A little video we put together. So get involved, win 14 grand. That's a big prize, folks. Second place is 1,000, third place is 500. Okay. I also want to play the new radio ad for Fall the Republic, my most important film ever. Comes out next Wednesday at prisonplanet.tv and on DVD. It's not even pre-ordering now. Just order it at Infowars.com. We start shipping these suckers out Tuesday. People will be getting them in the mail Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is my most powerful film yet. It covers the master plan, who the globalists are, what they're doing, and how to stop them. Here is, for the first time, the first official radio ad for Fall the Republic. Here it is.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty, and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today, it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at Infowars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
That's right. FallTheRepublic.com, Infowars.com, or 888-253-3139 to call and get a copy. Start your engines, folks. I want you to get DVD burners. I want you at the universities and colleges and high schools and churches. Give them to everybody. The Obama deception has sent shockwaves across the world. Mainstream media has admitted it's been seen tens of millions of times online. It has been a devastator to the New World Order. Fall of the Republic could save the Republic, but that's up to you. I have forged this weapon of truth. It's powerful. It's slick. It's info-packed. It shows you who the enemy is. I'm giving you the ball in a handoff right now. Boom, slamming it right into your hands. Are you going to run down the enemy? That is up to you. Death by a million cuts. Get it? Burn copies of the DVD and hit them hard with it. Come on. If I could just get the UT fans in Austin alone, the UT cult, every person in a restaurant wearing Bird Orange last night, to just, on their hearts, wear the Constitution just a little bit, care about America a little bit, instead of their fake manhood, their fake tribal identity. See, I'm not against the sports folks. I know they've taken your normal identity as a human defending freedom and put it onto simulations of warfare. I've read the psychological warfare manuals. I understand how you had your manhood expropriated away and put onto that. You have to defend America, your family, your children. A man doesn't just take his son to a baseball game. A man has to know about his rights and stand up against foreign banks. If you lay down to corruption, it will come into your country and it will completely take over your society. Period. This isn't a game, people. You've got to get your priorities straight. The good news is you're going to get hurt so bad by the New World Order that down the road you're going to listen. You're laughing your butt off right now. You're not going to be laughing down the road. Mark my words. Now, that's bad news that it's going to happen. But at least it's good news that you were told the truth and will recognize it later. Let's talk to Victoria in Virginia. Victoria, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being an awesome freedom fighter, Alex. We all love you. I wanted to find out, have you heard anything about the female in Wyoming? Because I know you busted the one in Montana and got criminals kicked out. What about the one in Wyoming?
Well, there are private prison camps everywhere run by shadowy mercenary organizations. At first, I thought it was some foreign merc takeover, because they said it was, with foreign police policing the town and running a bizarre FEMA camp in Hardin, Montana. That made national news after we went there. It got a lot of attention thanks to the listeners spreading the word. Now they're in the news in the AP headline today. Got to pull it out. It says, felon to still take over town. They don't care if he's a felon. It says that this foreign Serb is still going to set up a SWAT team training center there. And so then I started thinking it was just a scam. So just Google American Police Force. You'll see the AP article from today. But now he's got all these other felons working with him and former Secret Service people and others. And, yeah, you mentioned Montana. And now Wyoming with another group. It's just getting crazier and crazier.
Oh, my God. I wasn't aware of that. And I wanted to let you know that I talked to a friend of mine in Miss Virginia. One of her friends in the neighborhood took that H1N1 and died 2 days later. Died in 2 days. And then I look up on MSNBC.
We're out of time, ma'am. Hold on.
None of this may succeed this time, but this to me is sort of the outline by which someday in the next few years a solution will emerge.
Where does this mindset come from? Why do the elites kill the largest masses of people when no one is resisting them, when they've already attained total control? What ideology drives the elite psychopath? Since Plato's time, 2,400 years ago, state planners have openly proclaimed their desire to control every detail of the commoner's life. From breeding programs to mass extermination of undesirables, the dark dream has continued on for millennia. The scientific rationale for tyranny has always been attractive to elites because it creates a convenient excuse for treating their fellow man as lower than animals. Robert Thomas Malthus, famous for saying that a mass food collapse would be helpful because it would wipe out the poor. His fictional scenario would later be called a Malthusian catastrophe. Malthus is important because his ideas led to the rise of a new scientific field that would dominate the course of human history for the next 200 plus years. Charles Darwin, an admirer of the Malthusian catastrophe model, developed the theory of evolution, its chief tenet being the survival of the fittest. With the help of T.H. Huxley, known as Darwin's bulldog for his strong support of Darwin's theories, Darwin's theories were pushed into wide acceptance among key scientific circles throughout England and then the world. Darwin's cousin, Francis Galton, credited as the father of eugenics, saw an opportunity to advance mankind by taking the reins of Darwin's evolution theory and applied social principles to develop social Darwinism. The families, Darwin, Galton, Huxley, and Wedgwood, were so obsessed with their new social design theory that they pledged their families would only breed with each other. They falsely predicted that within only a few generations, they would produce supermen. The emerging pseudoscience was only codifying the practice of inbreeding, already popular within elites for millennia. The Four Families experiment was a disaster. Within only two generations of inbreeding, close to 90% of their offspring either died at birth or were seriously mentally or physically handicapped. The moneyed class of the planet, and particularly the royal families of the world, who were already obsessed with breeding and filled with a predatory disdain for the underclass, seized on the new science and began aggressively enforcing its aims worldwide. Biometrics appears to be a new science, but it was actually developed by Galton back in the 1870s as a way to track racial traits and genetic histories, and as a way to decide who would be licensed to breed. In 1904, the Cold Springs Harbor Research Facility was started in the United States by eugenicist Charles Davenport with the funding of prominent robber barons Carnegie, Rockefeller, and Harriman. In 1907, the first sterilization laws were passed in the United States. Citizens with mild deformities or low test scores on their report cards were arrested and forcibly sterilized.
You're 17, aren't you, Alice?
Yes, but what have you done with my folks?
Well, we're trying to help them, Alice, and you too. They were taken to the hospital this afternoon.
Hospital? Wasn't none of them sick this morning?
We thought it necessary to present your family's case to the State Medical Commission. After an examination, they decided there was but one important action to take. To have your entire family sterilized.
Why, what's that? I don't know what you're talking about.
Now, in this state, we have a law which provides for such people to have an operation so there won't be any more children.
I see.
Now, we placed your brothers in institutions where they'll be properly cared for. But you can go back to your job soon. I'll arrange to have a hell open for you.
But I'm keeping my job. I'm not going anywhere.
Now, you're going to the hospital too, Alice.
And you mean they're going to stop me from having children ever?
Exactly.
I'm all right, I tell you. I won't go to any hospital.
We don't want any trouble with you, young woman. If you refuse to go, the officer here will take you by force.
In 1910, the U.S. Eugenics Record Office was set up. By then, the British had created the first network of social workers, expressly to serve as spies and enforcers of the eugenics race cult that was rapidly taking control of Western society. The social workers would decide who would have their children taken away, who would be sterilized, and in some cases, who would be quietly murdered. In 1911, the Rockefeller family exports eugenics to Germany by bankrolling the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, which later would form a central pillar in the Third Reich. At the 1912 International Eugenics Conference in London, eugenics becomes an international craze and gains superstar status. The futurist and best-selling sci-fi author H.G. Wells had studied biology under top eugenicist and was spreading the new faith worldwide. In 1916, H.G. Wells' lover, Margaret Sanger, starts her promotion of eugenics in the United States. In 1923, Sanger receives massive funding from the Rockefeller family. Sanger wrote to fellow eugenicist Clarence J. Gamble that black leaders would need to be recruited to act as front men in sterilization programs directed against black communities. In 1924, Hitler pens Mein Kampf, or My Struggle, and credits U.S. eugenicists as his inspiration. Hitler even wrote a fan letter to American eugenicists and conservationists Madison Grant, calling his race-based book, The Passing of the Great Race, his Bible. Hitler developed the plan for mass extermination of the Jews and what he called other sub-races, as well as the handicapped, from Grant. By 1927, eugenics hit the mainstream. The so-called science was aggressively pushed through contests at schools, churches, and at state fairs. Churches competed in contests with big cash prizes to see who could best implement eugenics into their sermons. Major denominations then tell Americans that Jesus is for eugenics. That same year in the United States, more than 25 states passed forced sterilization laws, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of brutal sterilization policies. When Hitler came to power in 1933, one of his first acts was to pass national eugenics laws modeled after laws in the United States. The 1934 film Tomorrow's Children brought the eugenics agenda to the silver screen in the United States.
In the case of Miss Mason, I can see no reason for the operation that's been recommended. The girl is perfectly normal. She's hardworking and has a good reputation.
Do you know anything about her family background?
Well, yes, Your Honor, I do.
There are several other children, aren't there?
Yes.
What is their condition?
One is a cripple. Two others might be classed as feeble-minded.
Isn't the oldest son in jail?
Oh, yes, I believe so.
And knowing all that, you still contend that this girl should be allowed to bring more people like that into the world?
She's sound, Your Honor. She's not anything like the rest. Surely she should be given a chance to work out her own salvation.
I can't agree with you, Doctor. Suppose she is normal. The chances are that her children will inherit the family taint. Isn't that possible?
But, Your Honor,
I'm sorry, Doctor. Three generations of unfit are enough. Petition not allowed.
By 1936, Germany had become the world leader in eugenics for taking effective actions to sterilize and euthanize hundreds of thousands of victims. The big three of American eugenics, Davenport, Laughlin, and Goethe, were dispatched by the Rockefellers to Germany, where they advised the Nazis on the fine-tuning of their extermination system. With the strong support of the U.S. and England, Germany had gone over the edge. By 1936, Germany had become the world leader in eugenics for taking effective actions to sterilize and euthanize hundreds of thousands of victims. The big three of American eugenics, Davenport, Laughlin, and Goethe, were dispatched by the Rockefellers to Germany, where they advised the Nazis on the fine-tuning of their extermination system. With the strong support of the U.S. and England, Germany had gone over the edge, and tens of millions would pay with their lives. At the end of the war, the Allies protected from prosecution the very Nazi scientist that had tortured thousands of people to death. The Nazi brand of eugenics had embarrassed the elites, but they had no intention of stopping their plans. The Allies literally fought with each other over who would get top Nazi eugenicist. It didn't matter if the SS doctors had tortured tens of thousands to death. They were free to go. The Angel of Death, Joseph Mengele, and his boss, Otmar von Werscher, were not prosecuted, and von Werscher even continued his work in Germany after the war. Eugenicists were angry that their great work had been exposed. They then scrambled to camouflage their agenda. Eugenics Quarterly became Social Biology. The American Birth Control League became Planned Parenthood. New terms like transhumanism, population control, sustainability, conservation, and environmentalism replaced racial hygiene and social Darwinism. Many eugenicists of the previous period engaged in what they called crypto-eugenics. Purposefully taking their eugenics beliefs underground, they became highly respected anthropologists, biologists, and geneticists in the post-war world. The Allies then smuggled thousands of Nazi scientists out of Germany and placed them in key scientific positions, ranging from bioweapons to rocketry throughout the military-industrial complex. The founder of IBM was a devout follower of Hitler. Thomas J. Watson had supplied his punch card computers and IBM technicians to the Nazis for use in the death camps. Tattoos on camp victims were IBM human identification numbers, which fed into the computers. IBM had used similar punch card systems as early as 1928 in a Jamaican race mixing study. The first real computers were literally invented by a eugenicist for eugenics. UN chieftain and unrepentant eugenicist Julian Huxley argued that since the leaders of eugenics had founded the environmental and conservation movements, that they should be used as vehicles in the formation of a world government. Just as H.G. Wells had envisioned, this government would be controlled by a scientific dictatorship and would be guided by the principles of eugenics. Huxley created the World Wildlife Fund with Bilderberg founder and former SS officer Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands and Prince Philip of England.
In the event that I am reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus in order to contribute something to solve overpopulation. Prince Philip, reported by Deutsche Press Agentur, DPA, August 1988.
Aldous Huxley, author of Brave New World and brother of Julian Huxley, gave a speech at Berkeley in 1962, shortly before his death. He admitted that his best-selling book, Brave New World, written in 1932, was based not on fiction, but on what the elite were actually planning to implement.
And here I would like briefly to compare the parable of Brave New World with another parable which was put forth more recently in George Orwell's book 1984. I'm inclined to think that the scientific dictatorships of the future, and I think there are going to be scientific dictatorships in many parts of the world, will be probably a good deal nearer to the Brave New World pattern than to the 1984 pattern. They will be a good deal nearer, not because of any humanitarian qualms in the scientific dictators, but simply because the Brave New World pattern is probably a good deal more efficient than the other. That if you can get people to consent to the state of affairs in which they are living, the state of servitude, the state of being. Well, it seems to me that the nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy, who have always existed and presumably always will exist, to get people actually to love their servitude. People can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy. And these methods, I think, are a real refinement on the older methods of terror, because they combine methods of terror with methods of acceptance. But then there are various other methods which one can think of. There is, for example, the pharmacological method. This was one of the things I talked about in Brave New World. The result would be that, you can imagine a euphoric which would make people thoroughly happy even in the most abominable circumstances. These things are possible.
The elite have left a massive wave of destruction behind them as they cold-bloodedly experiment on civilian populations as if we are lab rats. A string of congressional investigations has uncovered more than 20,000 secret tests that were carried out against the American people between 1910 and 2000. One well-known eugenics study, the Tuskegee Syphilis Project, killed hundreds of blacks and spanned 40 years until whistleblowers exposed it in 1972. From 1943 until present, the British have tested lethal nerve gas on their own personnel on land, air, and sea. Many died instantly. Still others died grueling deaths over several years. The federal government commissioned secret radiation experiments on thousands of non-consenting patients. Hundreds of hospitals in the U.S. injected healthy men, women, and children with uranium and plutonium at dosage levels ranging from non-therapeutic to lethal, killing many of the test subjects. Pregnant wives of GIs were given vitamins by base doctors that actually consisted of highly radioactive uranium-239 and plutonium-241, resulting in violent miscarriages and the death of the mothers. Soldiers, sailors, and Marines were used as guinea pigs in hundreds of atomic and hydrogen bomb tests. Patriotic Americans were radiated side by side with lab animals. Pilots were forced to repeatedly fly through mushroom clouds of DNA-destroying radiation. From 1951 to 1961, the U.S. Army paid Israel's health ministry 3 million lira to conduct radiation testing on Sephardic children that immigrated to Israel. The government-run public schools would tell the children that they were going to get a medical checkup and that they were receiving an X-ray. The Pentagon had already radiated more than 4,000 institutionalized children in the United States, many of which had died. More than 110,000 of the darker-skinned Jews were given 35,000 times the maximum dose of X-rays to the head repeatedly. Many of the children died within months. All of them lost their hair. Some still live today and endure excruciating health problems. The covert testing of chemical, biological, and radiological agents on unsuspecting populations continues worldwide today. From 1940 to 1979, the vast majority of the British population was sprayed by aircraft more than 2,000 times.